Good morning, everybody. My name is Kristen Wyman. I am Natick Nipmuc, Nipmuc meaning freshwater people. We're from central Massachusetts, extending down into parts of northern Connecticut, northern Rhode Island, but my ancestors are from Natick, descendants of the Speens, the original proprietors. Natick meaning my land. I don't think it's in a possessive sense, but a description of who we are. Like I said, Nipmuc meaning freshwater people and our land, we are one and the same. It's really difficult to separate ourselves from it. I want to thank Laura for inviting me. It has been great to slow down a little bit. This is a good reminder that I don't always get a chance to just sit and be present and think and contemplate as much as I'd like to. So you all are blessed that you make this practice every week, so it's a good reminder for me. Also the trip out here, it's been a while since I've been in this area, and it was really nice to be reminded of the river and so many different turns that I took. So we're not far from it at all. Looking up at, actually I was, to take a step back, I was asked to talk, Laura was visiting at another church where I spoke about race and climate issues. And she, I think what resonated with her was a little bit of talk about our spirituality and ways of being, being connected to the land. And it's hard to be put on the spot and asked about it. I want to thank our volunteers who read the story of Sky Woman. That was told by Robin Kimmerer, who's the author of a book called Braiding Sweetgrass. And that relates to the Haudenosaunee people's creation story, but our stories are very similar. So I just want to acknowledge the way that they were able to tell that story, and I watched people's faces, and I could tell that people were really moved by it. And just want to acknowledge the responsibility that is given to our storytellers. And typically, we don't tell these stories. We're very careful about who we allow to tell these stories. We want to make sure they're told accurately. And even the time of year is very important of when we tell the stories. Typically, it's in the wintertime. So just want to give a lot of credit to that beautiful reading and setting the stage. So the best way for me to talk a little bit about my spirituality, I get a little bit guarded, I think. We have a long history of people being misunderstood and romanticized in a way. And so it's hard for me to talk about it, but I figured we can do it in real time, which this is a slideshow I made for a presentation I had to do on the internment, the commemoration of the internment of my ancestors. So some people may be familiar with King Philip's War or Metacom's War, right? It's one of the bloodiest wars in American history per capita. And it happened here, and this riverway played a huge significance in that war. So oftentimes we tell the stories of the negatives, but hopefully through this story you'll see the beauty that's actually present, right? It's a horrible story about our ancestors being held captive, mostly women and children. At that time, men were fighting in the wars. And my particular family was part of this praying community who was taught by Reverend John Elliott about the Bible. And we have many people here today that consider themselves Christianized Indians and are very faithful to the Christian church. I'm a little bit more rebellious, and I like to think about how the church played a role in them staying alive by conforming in a way, but still holding on to their spiritual beliefs. So the way I see it is that for many years, my ancestors kind of withdrew and weren't outwardly practicing their spirituality, but for more so as a survival tactic. We're kind of following along and adopting principles and values that we share in common through all religions as a way to stay alive. And this river has a long story of how we did just that, and I'm here today as proof and testament to our people's ability to stay alive. But at that time, there was a fear because the English were concerned about any Native person, there was fear that there were infiltrators and there were people who were not following along and could jeopardize their intentions. And so the women and children in my community in Natick were forcefully removed by proclamation of Mass Bay Colony. So this is written into law, and we were left out. We were brought down the Charles River by chains and shackles boat. And left over on Deer Island, which at that time in 1675 in October was not connected to the mainland. And there are horrible stories about what our people went through at that time in trying to dig for clams and the frozen sand and relying on the goodwill of some fishermen from time to time who would drop off food. But it was really a horrible thing where many of us did not survive, and those who did returned to villages that were burned. And had to start a new way of life. So this kind of puts it into perspective. These are some of the praying towns around the area. Nonantum being Newton, and Natick is another on that red dot. So that gives you some perspective of us coming from the inland, somewhat the inland, and making our way down the Charles River. We can go to the next slide. This is an image. Has anybody ever been in the Natick Post Office? This is a mural that's up on the Natick Post Office today. That was done in the maybe around 1940 by a non-Native artist. So we have to keep that in perspective, that this is somebody's imagination of what occurred. but that is supposed to be John Elliott there, and you'll see most of the men are chained, but as I mentioned, many of them were fighting at that time, and it was mostly women and children who were brought to Deer Island. We can go on to the next slide. So this is my grandmother. She is the sachem of our tribe, Marianne Hendricks, and that's Paul Hasgill, our chief, who's over 100 years old and still alive and well today, and he still lives in Natick. And so let's remind ourselves that they say sometimes we're not here anymore, but we are. We just might not be dressed in our traditional regalia or be walking around saying that we're Native. I think race also plays a role in that. Throughout history, we obviously were like many other humans and fell in love or met the right person, hopefully, and they weren't always of the same race. And so we're a mixed people. My ancestry is actually Black, Nipmuc, and Irish. That's on my mother's side. My father is from England. So that's a very interesting mix we have there, but it goes to show we are just human beings at the end of the day. But unfortunately, our people in many ways in New England have been erased, either by saying we're diluted because we don't have the same Indian blood. I think it's important to remember that I still have never moved from my ancestral lands. I'm still here, right? So every year, the weekend of Indigenous Peoples Day, or known as Columbus Day weekend, we commemorate the forced removal, and we go out to Deer Island for ceremony in the morning. All are welcome to come. It's usually that Saturday, nice and early, 9 a.m. And we don't advertise it very widely because we find that the people who show up are the ones who are supposed to be there. They're the ones who found out about it. You all are welcome. And we have a short ceremony, and then we can go to the next slide. And this is a pretty amazing thing that we do. We bring our ancestors home. We rely on these big war canoes from the Penobscot people. They come down from Maine. They're championship paddlers up there, and they help lead the way as we get Native people from many different nations in the boats with us and non-Native allies, and we paddle the approximate 17 to 20 miles across Boston Harbor and up Charles River to Brighton, which is the furthest place we can go that's navigable. And we also have people who run or walk the remaining distance to South Natick. And we can go to the next slide. So I think this is just a really powerful image. What I mean by talking about our spirituality in real time is that You know, when people say they want to paddle, I tell them this is not a leisurely paddle. This is really intense, and but it would be probably the best decision maybe you made in your life. And some people return each year. Many do, and some don't. I mean, they survived it. But they decide to be a spectator maybe the next year. It's pretty intense, but I would say that one of the biggest things that I remind the paddlers before they get in the boat is, like, this is not about you. We hear a lot of, like, I don't want to sit next to that person, and, you know, I want to be in the boat with this person, and I tell them, you know, this is really about something so much bigger. You're going to find once you start paddling that I think it's really important for us to remember, maybe humble ourselves a little bit. Going back to the story of Sky Woman, right? We have only been on this planet for a small amount of time, if we think about that in relation. And in our creation stories, we say that the animals were there first. And so in many ways, we say those are the ones with the old ancient wisdom, and we have a lot to learn from them. But humbling ourselves also reminds us that we are here for such a short amount of time. I really love the way Amanda opened up talking about this place and how long this has been here. Well, let's take that a step back, because, and I love how we talked about this congregation starting in the Arboretum and being outside, right? Because in our ways, we realize that the land is mnemonic, that it holds memory for hundreds of years. And if we think about the way that my ancestors were buried, they were buried wrapped in things that could go back into the earth, right? And so we believe that our ancestors are all around us, that we live and breathe the dust of our ancestors, and especially if we think about how old water is and all of the memories that are carried in that water, right? So this is a really powerful journey, because once you get into that boat, you are leaving yourself vulnerable to the water and to all these stories and this collective memory and all these people that you're relying on to carry you through, because it's very difficult to paddle across water. It's scary. And then we have these jets flying over us, and we have tankers right next to us. And then once we get through the locks and start heading up Charles River, we can maybe show the next slide. Yeah. We have a lot of the crew teams that are yelling at us saying we're going the wrong way. And we just say, we're not going back there, thanks, but we know where we're going. Then you get the duck boats and, you know, all the pleasure boaters waving, and they don't know, but it's a very interesting experience to be doing something that is so spiritual and in honor to such harsh injustices of people, and to not, I don't hold anybody that's waving to us, or, you know, one if by land, two if by sea, the duck boats and all their, you know, they really are oblivious to what we're doing, even year after year that we've been doing this. You know, we have moments of crying on that journey, of remembering what has been taken from us, and the fear that my grandmothers must have had to be holding their children, and how long that trip up, you know, downriver must have felt like, in knowing that you're leaving your land behind. And in that time, the women were a matriarchal people. It is understood that your nation is only as healthy as your women. The story of Sky Woman is the story of how Earth was formed. We give so much credit to the beings that birth our children, that birth our nations, right? And our women were the landholders. So to be taken away from something you are so responsible for, and these lives, right? I can't handle it when my child's sick. I can't imagine what it must have felt like to not be able to control the destiny and the health and well-being of your child. So that is what we contemplate. And when we want to complain about something that's bothering us on that trip, we don't say it, but we correct ourselves very quickly that this pales in comparison. We can go to the next slide. So this was taken 2 years ago, but yeah, after we arrive at community rowing in Brighton, so I mean, this is something, if you can't make it to Deer Island by 9 o'clock, just know that we're usually paddling and leaving by 10 in the morning, and we arrive here in Brighton by 1 o'clock usually. And we've never had anybody greet us along the way or wave from one of the bridges. Or I mean, just know that between 10 and 1 o'clock, you will probably see us paddling that Saturday of Columbus Day weekend. And so we'd love to see you or hear from you while we're there. We can go to the next slide. This is at the Falls in South Natick, where the Bacon Free Library is. It's actually resting on the burial site of my ancestors. So in places like that, you'll see around here that we've gifted the land away or we gave it. And I mean, I'm just wondering why we would ever have approved of a library being built on our ancestors' burial sites. So let's just remember that there was a certain intent of people who were creating these narratives. So when we see signs all over New England that, you know, this was the last Indian that died here, or this was the last Native person to gift us this land, you know, it didn't necessarily happen that way. And I don't have the time today to go into all of those different narratives that have played out. But the way we see it is that we've never left, and we still see this as colonized space. So the significance of being here and being able to speak on behalf of my ancestors and to be a living testament to our survival, and that we still are here and that we have a right to adapt and evolve and change over time, just as any other human being does. But to remind you, you know, we heard the word privilege today, I believe, in one of our songs. So we talk a lot about privilege when we're talking about race relations, but I think it's important for me to say how privileged I am to be an Indigenous person from here, to have learned from my elders, and to be able to walk this land with insight that goes back thousands of years, right? Our creation stories talk about the Ice Age and talk about the movement of people and how things were formed, and to know that this principle of the seven generations that's important to most Native people and probably many other peoples around the world, that you always remember the seven generations before you. And you always make your decisions daily based on the next seven generations. And so knowing that my ancestors were praying for me and all of their things, all of their decisions that they made, they were trying to make the best decisions they could, thinking about me, not even knowing me yet. To know that out on Deer Island, when they were worried about their survival, they were worried about me. It's really a blessing to be welcomed here in this space and to be able to share the story with you, and to continue to try to be a manifestation of their dreams, right? So I feel super honored and privileged. This is an offering. These are ways that we give offerings. And I have a little shell that I'm going to leave here for this church. And that's tobacco in our the shell right there. Tobacco and cedar and sage and sweetgrass are all traditional medicines that are our cleansing, our way of taking care of ourselves and giving back to the earth. And that's how this is what this woman was doing right here. And she took that shell from Deer Island and she made an offering at the river there in Natick. And I think we have one more slide. And so you're welcome to this too at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Natick, is where we usually have our social and our potluck. So we do that after we go to the Falls and pray and have a short ceremony. And then we go over here and we feed all the paddlers and we gift them items. And the food is delicious. We're really pushing to try to be as to bring Indigenous foods and healthy foods to the event as possible. mixed in with some goodies. And we'll just end it here. This is just a traditional dugout machine, so these are the kind of canoes our people had traditionally. And photo credit to my mom there, keeping it in the family. But I hope that paints an important picture of how we see this land, and you all are a part of it. I think if we go back to that story of Sky Woman, Robin Kimmerer, the author of that book, Parading Sweetgrass, goes on to talk about how Sky Woman herself was an immigrant, right? And if it weren't for the counseling of the animal beings and their cooperation and their counseling together to do what's right, to welcome someone into their home, then the earth wouldn't have been formed. But Robin goes on to talk about what makes somebody indigenous to a place, perhaps, is just living according as if your future children mattered, right? And so we all become a part of the space. Amanda was sharing that 300 years ago, this congregation was formed, and it's moved around to different places, but it stayed essentially kind of in the same area, and we're carrying on a story. And so in that respect, you know, the congregation has gone on to make sure that it continues on year after year, and that's kind of our responsibility as human beings, right? And we all share that in common. So it's been great to be here and share this story with you, and I look forward to being able to talk more at coffee hour. Thank you.